Our first reading tonight is from 2 Corinthians, and we're going to start at chapter 6, verse 14, through to verse 17, verse 1. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Or what does the believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I'll be their God, and they'll be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I'll be your father to you, and you'll be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Now we're going to read from Proverbs, verse 27, 1 to 17. Do not boast about today, tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Let someone else praise you and not your own mouth, an outsider and not your own lips. Stone is heavy and sand a burden, but a fool's provocation is heavier than both. Anger is cruel and fury overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiply kisses. One who is full loathes honey from the comb, but to the hungry, even with its bitter taste, sweet. Like a bird that flees its nest is anyone who flees from home. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. Do not forsake your friends or a friend of your family, and do not go to your relative's house when disaster strikes you. Better a neighbour nearby than a relative far away. Be wise, my son, and bring joy to my heart. Then I can answer anyone who treats me with contempt. The prudent sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. Take the garments of one who puts on up security for a stranger. Hold it in pledge if it doesn't for an outsider. If anyone loudly blesses their neighbour early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. A quarrelsome wife is like a dripping off a leaking roof in a rainstorm. Restraining her is like restraining the wind, or grasping oil with the hand. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens each other. I now invite Michael to come up. We're looking forward to what he has to say to us as he leads us in God's word. Thanks, Michael.
Good evening, everybody. And let's pray again and ask for God's blessing on us as we look at his word together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the living word from the living God. And Father, we are excited to look at many scriptures this evening, Lord. And Father, as we mine the great truths of Proverbs in this particular topic of friendships, we pray, Father, that you'll be at work in us, Lord, that your Holy Spirit, Lord, will be teaching us and applying the truth of your word to us as individuals. Father, we pray for you to speak through your word and speak into our lives. And Father, we thank you that you are a God that has saved us through your Son, the Lord Jesus. And it is well with our soul, but Father, we also know that you want us to live a particular way as the people of God. And Father, we pray that we'll gain wisdom from the Proverbs to live that wise life, a life that honours and glorifies you in all things. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. News reporter Gavin Fernando writes, "When Vicky arrived at the cafe we'd agreed to meet at, you could tell she had no trouble meeting strangers. Vicky makes a living as a friend for hire. For the past few years, the 31-year-old Sydney Sider has kept an online profile on rentafriend.com, where strangers can view her page and get her phone number. She says she's available for everything from a casual coffee to hot air balloon rides, snowboarding to family functions, shopping to giving a personal tour of Sydney. The activities are strictly platonic, with a no sex policy. It's kind of like Uber for friends. The client pays a fee and in return receives a fill-in friend who can meet their needs. Rent a Friend started in 2009. It is worldwide and in 2023 has over 621,000 friends you can hire. And I checked it out and there are even some in Launceston for hire. I thought about hiring one to come to church tonight and hear a sermon on friendship. And I thought maybe we could all hire them and then bring them here and call it, you know, Friendship Evangelism 2023. But that's a bit weird, I know. Before we go out and hire a friend, or before we go and buy a human-like, you know, talking robot to keep us company, we better look at what it says about friendships in the Bible. Starting with selecting a good friend. Proverbs 12:26. The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. So a righteous person, or one who fears God, you know, one who has Jesus Christ ruling their life, is cautious about friendships. Theologian Don Carson, speaking on this verse about friends, says, the idea of choosing friends carefully denotes a careful, diligent, and penetrating investigation to find what is concealed. The Christian must choose their friends wisely and use a bit of discernment in who they hang out with, as the wicked can lead them astray. So how do we choose a friend wisely? How do we select that person that we want to let into our life? Well, in selecting a good friend, the book of Proverbs does enlighten us with God's wisdom on the subject, because there are some friendships to firstly avoid. Firstly, be aware of superficial friendships. If you're selecting a good friend, don't base it on money. In Proverbs 19:7, the poor man is shunned by all his relatives and friends. And in 14:20, the poor are shunned by their neighbours. But the rich have many friends. In regards to friendships, the poor are often given the flick, but the rich have no problem getting friends. Wealth brings many friends. Everyone is a friend of the man who gives gifts. But these are superficial friendships. While it's good and godly, of course, to give gifts, you won't gain a good friend by buying one. You know, the child at a school with wealth and buys, you know, lots of lollies suddenly has a lot of friends. Or perhaps a teenager, the first one amongst their peers to get their license and a car, can find themselves with a lot of friends around them. They're suddenly popular. You know, the multimillionaire or the person who wins lotto is never short of finding friends. And it seems like these superficial friendships are popular these days with groups like this Rent-A-Friend. But just like when the rich person's money dries up, the friends, these superficial friends, will soon desert you. Next, we are to avoid friendships with people who have an uncontrolled temper. As Australia goes through an epidemic of domestic violence, how timely is the wisdom here from God's word? Listen to Proverbs 22:24. We've got them up there on the screen too, all these verses. We're going through a lot. So Proverbs 22:24. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person, and do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared. An individual given to anger or a hot-tempered person is literally the possessor of anger. He or she owns this anger. They're a person of wrath. So why are we to avoid a close friendship with such a person? Well, verse 25 says, you'll learn their ways, which is what? Well, Proverbs 14:17 tells us, a quick-tempered person does foolish things. I remember a story many years ago when my brother's boss was sitting at an intersection here in Launceston. An impatient driver pulled in behind him and honked his horn. Well, my brother's boss decided to reply with a one-fingered hand signal. Well, this guy was a man of anger, and he responded by ramming the car and pushing the car with his four-wheel drive across the intersection and then took off. As Proverbs says, a quick-tempered man does foolish things and police caught up with him eventually. You know, if you're a friend of a person with uncontrolled anger, expect strife and expect to be caught up in hard situations. You know, as we seek wise friendships, don't be close friends with such a person. And never go out with or marry someone like this. Or you will, Proverbs 22:25, be entangled in a snare. You will be another domestic violence statistic. Avoid those with uncontrolled anger. And next, avoid close friendships with the dishonest. And we see this in Proverbs 29:27. The righteous detest the dishonest, the wicked detest the upright. There is a clear, unequal yoking between the wicked and the righteous. And next, avoid close friendships with those who are in rebellion against the Lord and his instituted authority. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 21. It says, fear the Lord and the king, my son, and do not join with the rebellious officials, for those two will send sudden destruction on them. For those two will send sudden destruction on them, and who knows what calamities they can bring. And next, you also need to avoid friendships with those who are drunkards and gluttons. Well, that cuts out a few Australians, doesn't it? But drunkards and gluttons, listen to Proverbs 23, verse 19. Listen, my son, and be wise, and set your heart on the right path. Do not join those who drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat, for drunkards and gluttons become poor, and drowsiness clothes them in rags. You also need to avoid close friendships with evil men. Proverbs 24, verse 1. Do not envy the wicked, do not desire their company, for their hearts plot violence and their lips talk about making trouble. And next, the foolish. Do not let sinners entice you. Proverbs 14, verse 7, stay away from a fool, for you will not find knowledge on their lips. So God's wisdom here in Proverbs paints a picture of people you should avoid having close relationships with. So if you're selecting a good friend based on Proverbs here, you need to avoid, you know, friendships grounded in superficial things, avoid people who have ungodly traits of anger, wickedness, rebellion, drunkenness, dishonesty. And these people don't fear the Lord. They are, in the language of Proverbs, a fool. They are living in rebellion against God and living wicked lives. You know, if they profess to be Christians and have these characteristics, again, avoid them as your close friends. In fact, Proverbs here is written to the covenant community. 1 Corinthians 6 says to avoid close friendships and associations with those unrepentant professing Christians. I'll read out 1 Corinthians chapter 5 from verse 11. I'm writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who claims to be a brother or sister, but is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater or slanderer, a drunkard or swindler. Do not even eat with such people. Avoid friendship with those who don't fear God is the message of Proverbs. And there's a sin to avoid here in Proverbs, and a sin we must not miss. And that is being yoked to someone who doesn't fear God. Or in New Testament language, being yoked to an unbeliever. And that's where we come to our New Testament reading that we had read out there before. And I'm just going to read verse 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. It says, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common, or what fellowship can light have with darkness?" A yoke is a wooden bar that joins two oxen together, and so they can together pull a load. An unequaled yoke is a team where there's maybe one stronger ox, one weaker ox, you know, maybe one taller or one shorter, and instead of working together, they're at odds with one another, and it causes them to go off track. So in selecting a close friend or even a marriage partner, the unequal yoking will cause you to be at odds with that friend in many areas. And the danger is this: to pull in the same direction, there will be compromise. Their idols become your idols, and their ideologies become your ideologies, and their vices become your vices. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." And that is why the wisdom of Proverbs and the New Testament warns against close friendships with certain people. The God-fearing believer is warned not to have a close relationship with unbelievers, as they will be led astray. However, this doesn't mean you ignore the unbeliever either. Here's the tension. You know, we are to love our neighbour. It's often through our friendship or association with that unbeliever that they hear the gospel and are saved. You know, Jesus was a friend of sinners and tax collectors and prostitutes, but he wasn't yoked to them. His close friends were his disciples. And the Bible makes it clear your close friends, your bestie, you know, the ones that you are yoked to need to be Christians, your brothers and sisters in Christ. Listen to another book of wisdom from the Psalm 119, verse 63. "I am a friend to all who fear you, to all who follow your precepts." And Proverbs 13, 20. "Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm." Now, when you pick your good friend in Proverbs, you need to avoid the ungodly fool and pick a God-fearer. And this brings us to the second point, a God-fearing friend. You know, what are the characteristics of a God-fearing friend? Well, the first one is loyalty. You don't need lots of friends, but you do need loyal ones. These days, people are often into quantity and not quality when it comes to friendships. These days, some people probably feel popular when they look at the number of contacts they have in their phone or how many hundreds of friends they have on Facebook or Instagram and some other social networking sites. But how many are loyal friends? Are these friends, you know, just want to know about you, or do they actually want to know you? Are they friends a bit like, you know, a rent-a-friend but free? Of course, you know, sometimes boosts our ego to have lots of emails or text messages or phone calls or Facebook friends. And I'm not against these technologies. I use them. But when push comes to shove, are any of these loyal? Are they loyal friends? Remember, quality is more important than quantity. Proverbs 18:24 reinforces it. It says, "One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer to than a brother." And that's who we need, a friend who sticks closer than a brother. In 1 Samuel 18:3, Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. If you want a picture of loyal friendship, read about the relationship between David and Jonathan. Someone once said, "If you can count your true friends on the fingers of one hand, you are blessed." You know, if you're married to a God-fearing friend, that's terrific. You know, if your loyal friends happen to be God-fearing family member, say your mother or father or sibling, again, that's wonderful, because loyalty in a friendship is very rare. So how should these friends show their loyalty? Well, they consistently love. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. A friend shows their loyalty in hardships. A true friend's there for you when times are tough, whether it's, you know, suffering from an illness, you know, financial difficulties, a marriage breakup, or the loss of a loved one, or, you know, as you battle through some particular failure or sin. A loyal friend is there to support you. Someone is there who really cares. When you're going through difficulties, you can go to the doctor. They'll listen. You can pay for a counsellor. You can maybe rent a friend. But I think what most of us really need is a few loyal friends that will consistently love us through thick and thin. Proverbs 17:19, whoever would foster love covers over an offence. So this is chapter 17, verse 9, whoever would foster love covers over an offence. This is like 1 Peter 4:8, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. You know, this consistent love from a loyal friend covers an offence. Meaning what? It means a good friend, out of love, lets a few things slide. You know, they show a bit of grace, they give a bit of slack. A good friend's not there to nitpick and pick out every single fault they find in you. You know, like they're some sin-spotting police. But don't take advantage either of these good friends. Don't always think, you know, I can treat them like this, they'll always forgive me. Because if you push a friend too far, the fallout is disastrous. And we read that in Proverbs 18, verse 19. A brother wronged is more unyielding than a fortified city. Disputes are like the barred gates of a citadel. We all know the destruction it causes when two friends have a fallout. A good friend is loyal, they love consistently, and next, they don't gossip about you. A loyal friend keeps a rein on their tongue. In Proverbs 11:13, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. You know, if you are one of these blabber mouths, you're not going to be a loyal and loving friend. Proverbs 17:9 says, whoever would foster love covers over an offence, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. You won't have any intimate friendships if you are a gossip. If you're a person that backstabs, if you're someone that bitches about your friends, you'll lose them. It is that simple. The reason a dog has so many friends is he wags his tail and not his tongue. That's not a proverb, that's just a saying to illustrate the point. Well, it is a proverb, just not a biblical one. Honesty. Next, honesty. Proverbs 27, verse 5. Better is an open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. A good friend speaks the truth in love. Proverbs 24, 26. An honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. So while love overlooks faults, love will also give a loving rebuke when needed, and also it will give earnest counsel. And we see earnest counsel there in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 9. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. And notice the wise counsel is likened to perfume and incense. Counsel is pleasant and sweet as it's delivered through a good friend. And next, a good friend doesn't take advantage of that friendship, and respects privacy. And we can see this in Proverbs 27, verse 14. It says, if anyone loudly blesses their neighbor early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. Now, in this proverb, the Hebrew word there for neighbor is the same word as friend. Some translations go friend, some go neighbor. Some go friend, some go neighbor. It's the same word. But either way, the point is the same. The point is respect people's privacy. You know, a lot of friends don't take too kindly to a wake up 6 a.m., you know, bless you brother call, or a late at night phone call at 11 p.m. just to chat away. So we need to be sensitive. We have to be respectful. Even if you have good motives, you need to respect your friend's privacy. You know, give them time with their family, their friends, their other friends, and give them time alone. So respect your friend's privacy. And the last point on a God-fearing friend from Proverbs is their positive influence, and thus the importance of having them. Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. And then Proverbs 27, verse 17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. So while bad company corrupts good morals and good theology, a good friend does the opposite. They positively influence you. Our biblical thinking and our character get sharpened by hanging out with God-fearing Christian friends. We need them, we need each other. Because a close Christian friend will pull you up when you're heading off track. They will counsel you with the word of God. They will pray with you. They'll listen. They'll keep your personal secrets. And they'll be there through the hard times. So where do you find such people? Within God's covenant community called the church. You find them in a Bible-teaching, God-glorifying church like this one. You find these friends in a good Bible study. You know, walk with the wise and become wise. Wise friendships are found by hanging out with godly, God-fearing Christians. You know, regularly attending a God-fearing church and by attending a God-fearing Bible study. But to finish, I want to discuss the perfect friend. Because good, God-fearing friends are rare. And even they will let you down. Plus, loneliness is a real issue. And it won't surprise you that this perfect friend is, of course, Jesus. Jesus had friends while on earth, like Mary and Martha, Lazarus, John, etc. But Jesus' example of true friendship goes way deeper and is more profound. The Gospel of John tells us Jesus laid down his life for his friends. Now that's true friendship. You see, Jesus suffered the ultimate loneliness that we can never fully imagine. Jesus was abandoned by God and man. You know, his country dumped him, his fellow Israelites ditched him. You know, his blood relatives walked away, he had disciples desert him. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane was sweating blood, knowing what was coming. And then on the cross, Jesus' own Father, God Himself, abandoned Him. Jesus suffered a painful loneliness on the cross that our minds can never truly comprehend. My God, why have You forsaken Me? Was the painful cry of abandonment. Then the sin of man was laid on Jesus, and God's wrath at it was unleashed on the Son of Man. Jesus suffered a hellfire loneliness so that those with faith in Jesus would never be alone. Jesus suffered the loneliness of the cross so all God's elect will be called His friends in a restored friendship with God. Jesus now calls us His friends in John 15:15. And it's through Jesus we can have the ultimate friendship restored, and that is the friendship with Almighty God. Enoch walked with God. Abraham was a friend of God. Moses spoke face to face with God. Job had a friendship with God, and through his trials, he thought he'd lost this friendship. And he said in Job 29, verse 4, "Oh, for the days when I was in my prime, when God's intimate friendship blessed my house." Of course, God didn't leave Job, but allowed him to go through those trials. And nor will Jesus turn his back on you. Jesus is a loyal friend that we all need. Be yoked to Jesus Christ. You know, his priestly work gives us 24/7 communication with God. He's a good shepherd who will always lead us through the dark valleys. He, as the Word, will be a lamp to guide us. His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is in us and brings us assurance and peace and comfort. Remember Job's friends? They were there for him in part. You know, they listened and it was all good until they opened their mouths. And then their imperfection as friends came out. In the last chapter of the book of Job, it has God rebuking Job's friends and they need to offer a sacrifice in repentance for their foolish words. And our friends too are not perfect. And they need, you know, a sacrifice as well in the person of Jesus for their sin. Our God-fearing friends, whether that friend is your spouse or a family member or part of your church family, they will fall short. But Jesus won't. Jesus won't. Jesus is the perfect friend that we can always trust no matter what. He's always there to pray to. You can seek him for counsel, ask for direction, for help and for forgiveness. Jesus is the one true loyal friend of sinners. He is that true friend that sticks closer than a brother, a friend that gave us a covenant in his blood, securing our eternal friendship. Jesus is that wise friendship we all need. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for indeed Jesus. Lord, we who were once enemies of you, our God, have been brought close and near and been reconciled as friends of the Almighty. And Father, we know it's through his sacrifice that has made this indeed possible. Lord, we thank you for this and we thank you that we have that security of that perfect friend in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.